Always Worth Saying's Question Time Review. You have entertained me, Dominic Lawson, Old Etonian. Question Time, the 1st of October, 2020. The panel, Grant Shapps, Conservative. Alison McGovern, Labour. Helen Stokes Lampard, GP. Stuart Rose, Businessman. David Linden, SNP. The venue, Carlisle. Question Time began its celebration of Black History Month in the best possible way by having an all-white panel, an all-white audience, and coming from Carlisle, where the Red Wall meets Hadrian's Wall, where England meets Scotland, where the Eden, Caldew and Petrol meet the Solway Firth, where the Midland Railway meets the Caledonian Mail Line, and the Maryport to Carlisle, and the Newcastle to Carlisle, and the Lancaster to Carlisle, and the North British, and the Waverley Line, and the Solway Junction Railway, and the horse-drawn dandy to Port Carlisle, where typing in, why is Carlisle, auto-completes with full of racists, where King Edward I, Longshanks, Hammer of the Scots, died peacefully in his sleep, where King William Rufus held his parliament, and where, from exactly halfway between Land's End and John O'Groats, your humble author pens, fashionably north of Hadrian's Wall, with a quill from a marsh goose, ink from a berry copse, and vellum from a wild roaming calf grazed on sea-washed Solway turf, his most modest review for your erudition. Dear reader, having Question Time and Question Time Review coming from the same place at the same time creates the possibility of what great scientific minds, such as Devi Shivra, might call a temporal paradox. If panellists and audience members begin to fade away and disappear from the screen, like on Back to the Future, I shall endeavour to type more slowly. Carlisle is served by a Conservative MP, the invisible John Stevenson. Although a Scot, Mr. Stevenson displays a Cumbrian canniness for the ways of the political world. Not bothering to go to Parliament, he continues to work as a local solicitor. The first question, about illegal asylum seekers, not coronavirus. Alison McGovern, Labour, answered first. Alison is the Member of Parliament for Wirral South, 140 miles from Carlisle. Comrade Alison benefited from a selective education at the Wirral Grammar School for Girls, where she was head girl. Subsequently, she studied philosophy at University College, has never had a proper job, having toiled in communications at Quango's. Her husband is also a Quangocrat. She is Shadow Sports Minister. Worryingly, in an interview with Grazia magazine, Ms. McGovern spoke of her mental ill health. As I stand on a stage or face a TV camera, something in my head screams, "Fat! You are so fat and disgusting. Why are you doing this? People will see how fat and disgusting you are." Ironically, while your humble reviewer types away, the voices in his head don't shout, "Bald! You are bald, blind, deaf, and your teeth are falling out." Alas, dear reader, they could, but thus far, they don't. Alison blamed the media for this type of question, it being a distraction technique because the government were having problems elsewhere. LaBruce decided that the illegal immigrants were legal. Stuart Rose told us that we'd always been a home for these people. Have we? Modestly introduced as Stuart Rose, he is in fact a member of the House of Lords, a Conservative Life peer, Baron Rose of Monyduan, which is 314 miles from Carlisle. Rose was educated at St. Joseph's Convent School in Dar es Salaam, where his father worked in the Imperial Civil Service. He was subsequently privately educated at a Quaker school in York. Previously, Rose worked for the BBC. He is of Russian descent, his family name being Bryantsev. It sounds as though he might be one of these. In business, he is a former chairman of Marks & Spencer's and now chairman of Ocado. Stuart was also chairman of the Remainer Britain Stronger in Europe campaign and, helpfully for Brexit, claimed at their first press conference that leaving the EU would increase wages. In the present day, Lord Rose wasn't keen on sending illegal immigrants to St Helena. Grant Shapps, Conservative, in this locale, not to be confused with Grant from Shap, is the Member of Parliament for Welling Hatfield, 270 miles from Carlisle. A grammar school boy, he studied at Manchester Polytechnic, from which he was awarded an HND in Business and Finance. His wife, Belinda, sells your clutter on eBay through her own business, Auction Girl Limited. Grant mentioned criminal gangs bringing people across in tiny boats. Bruce interrupted. She wanted a clarification. A magic wave machine to send the boats back. Oil rigs, Moldova, she mused. Grant claimed he'd never been to a meeting about those things and preferred to mention people trafficking. David Linden, SNP, is the MP for Glasgow East, a mere 100 miles from Carlisle, albeit in another country. State educated, he previously worked for the council and the credit union. Does being state educated mean that he is an enlightened and equal man of the people? Or does it just mean that he's not as well educated as the other panellists? We shall see. He met his wife at church. At the December 2019 general election, he was returned with a majority of 5,500, but not a majority of the votes. 48% of his constituents voted for the SNP and 52% for the unionist parties. David decided that the illegal immigrants were the victims. His gaydar was telling him that they were persecuted because of their sexuality. He mentioned the Highlands of Scotland, but as if he didn't really want them there. Another David had asked the question. They were coming here illegally from France. Bruce contradicted him. They're not illegal. Yes, they are. David said they could have been processed in other parts of Europe, and he was right. Helen Stokes Lampard is a Lichfield GP, Lichfield being 189 miles from Carlisle. Properly titled Professor Helen Jane Stokes Lampard, MBBS Lun, PhD, DSC, FRC, GP, DFSRH, DRCOG, LOCIUS, MRCGP, LOCIUT, memo to Helen. Nobody likes a smart ass. Dr. Helen claims to be an ordinary GP, even one of the GP cool face, but she isn't really. She is a professor of GP education, a GP principal and chair of the National Academy for Social Prescribing, NASP, at Birmingham Medical School. On her webcam, all of her degrees were lined up behind her in boxes on shelves. And we used to laugh at Bob Peston. Helen gave us another laugh by playing the race card and then shutting up. The next question was from a student, sounding marooned at a Scottish university because of the pandemic. Mr. Linden answered the coronavirus question without mentioning SNP colleague Margaret Ferrier MP, a hatchet-faced growler even by the standards of her native Ruther Glen. The voices in my head are saying, sarcasm is the lowest form of wit, but keep on kicking Ms. Ferrier all the time. Her jet black hair, concreted to her head like a solidified bucket of tar poured over the head of a Coatbridge Protestant chained to a lamppost, Miss Ferrier has been caught travelling the length of the kingdom after testing positive for coronavirus. The panel didn't mention her, nor offer any solution beyond people having to isolate and universities having to be responsive. What does responsive mean in this context? Absolutely nothing. Bruce mentioned Alison McGovern's mental health. You heard it first here, Puffins. Alison had found comfort in team sport and waxed lyrical about its therapeutic quality. There is an 11 at nearby Brunton Park, Alison. Be careful what you wish for. The next audience member spoke as a nurse, but beneath a big timetable stuck upon her wall, itemising the arrival of guests and cutting of the cake. Not sure what was going on there. Had she bought a surprise pack from Grant Shapp's wife? Lord Rose took a broader view of health, including that of business, and suggested that the cure was as bad as the disease. We must relax and get used to the virus. He asked Dr. Helen how many people had actually died of COVID. She put it at 15,000 above the official figure of 42,000. Stuart pretended that that proved his point. Bruce asked David Linden if students trapped in Scotland might be out by Christmas. He wouldn't commit, but he hoped people would get home for the holidays. Jonathan Dodd spoke from the audience and asked a question. He wondered about the effectiveness of local lockdowns and how well the message had been put across. Grant Shapps pick Luton and Leicester. I wonder what they have in common. Shapps claimed that the numbers there had come down and had prevented a national lockdown. There is a national rule of six, he reminded us. Beyond that, you can type your postcode into the internet and it will tell you what your local rules are. Eventually, LaBruce prompted David Linden to mention Miss Ferrier. He thought her position was untenable and she should reflect upon it. He thought she should resign. Stuart Rose wanted uniform rules across the UK. Nobody was talking about UK PLC's health. Bruce took umbrage and told him he should have been watching last week when the issue was discussed. Alison McGovern wanted to protect people. So did Stuart. He wanted lots more fast and accurate testing once a week at work, and then people could start using public transport again. He was often on the tube, and it is deserted while the roads are clogged up. Audience member James had a couple of restaurants and didn't know what to do. There were no Christmas bookings and he had had no guidance from government regarding the next 3 months. He was impressed by the grants and furlough, but there was uncertainty ahead. The next speaker was also in hospitality. He could take 120 customers, COVID safe, but it wasn't allowed because of the sudden and blanket nature of the government's changes in advice. Meanwhile, people parted in the street outside of his premises. Victoria said something similar. She'd lost a year's business and was closed until March next year. The politicians didn't get it. They'd never run anything and got paid every month anyway. There were no revenues coming in. She was classed as non-viable, but was viable without the virus. Small businesses are described as being the backbone of the country, but have been left high and dry. How can we move on? What can we do? Bruce sprang to the defence of politicians. Grant had run something. QT Review regulars will recall his pyramid selling scam. Victoria deployed the death stare. Victoria deployed the death stare, and rightly so. Hands, face, distance, space, test and trace and isolate, chanted Helen Stokes Lampard. We need simple messages. She was sad and frustrated by parties after 10 p.m. She doesn't get invited. Smart ass. Told you so. Follow the rules and look after each other, was her advice. In the final question, Gordon McGregor asked about funding of the local 11. Alison McGovern concentrated upon governance and didn't seem to understand the game at all. David Linden has Celtic in his constituency, and the loss of 60,000 attendances has a big local economic impact. Stuart Rose is a Spurs fan. The industry has to help itself. People at the top end have a disproportionate amount of the money, like at Marks and Sparks and Ocado, if you got to add. A lady on the wall seemed to suggest that our local 11 had taken the pennies off the season ticket holders, locked them out of the ground, and were spending the money on themselves, as if that was a good thing. Grant noted that Carlisle United are playing Barrow on Saturday. Proust told him off for swatting up on the venue. Grant seemed to want the Premier League to stump up for the other clubs. Gordon wanted the crowds back at Brunton Park. They could socially isolate. Arguably, they have been for years. The clubs could sort the money out between themselves. The best played players could take a pay cut. No need for the government to be involved. The governing bodies could do all that. Dead right he was, too. Grant wanted people to watch Carlisle play Barrow, as though that was a good thing. But the R8 was above one. Puffins will play a different sport. Blindfold five-dimensional chess, will have realised that the average distance between the panellists and the Carlisle venue was 203 miles. Next time Question Time comes from London, we shall return the compliment. We shall choose five panellists who hail 203 miles from the BBC at Langham Place. Such a calculation is possible. Google Maps and A Wasted Life remind us of the Stout Kaiken Hostelry. Next to the Albert Canal, just the other side of Antwerp docks. If your humble reviewer's memory serves him well, the regulars included a retired sea captain, a great-nephew of Hergé, and a couple of desperate 5 Belgian franc tarts. No doubt a random drunk, slumped in a corner afore an empty bottle of Genever, might be volunteer to make up the numbers. Couldn't be any worse than this week's shower.